Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Breaking news, Bronny James, the son of LeBron James's, suffered a medical emergency. We'll have all the details. We also have breaking news in the search for a missing Moore County woman. Police say they have located the man last seen with Alicia Watts. And heat is our big story this week going forward. Already it feels like 95 in Durham and Raleigh and 100 in Clinton. I'll show you how high it will get this week.
We begin with that breaking news you just heard out of the Live Center. The oldest son of LeBron James, Bronny, is recovering from cardiac arrest. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Bronny is 18 years old. He was at basketball practice at USC when this happened. Michelle McConaughey is in the WRAL Live Center with a statement from his family.
Yeah, just such scary news. He is only 18 years old, but he was at a workout at USC yesterday. That is when he suffered the cardiac arrest. Only 18 years old. The Southern University of Southern California, a freshman, was at a workout, but his family did release a statement this afternoon saying yesterday while practicing, Bronny James suffered a cardiac arrest. Medical staff was able to treat Bronny and take him to the hospital. He is now in stable condition and no longer in the ICU. LeBron and Savannah wish to publicly send their deepest thanks and appreciation to the USC medical and athletic staff for their incredible work and dedication to the safety of their athletes. Again, he is in stable condition today. This all happened yesterday evening during a practice, but just so scary. He is only 18 years old.
Michelle, thanks for that. To take this one step further with Dr. Christopher Kelly, a cardiologist with UNC Health. Dr. Kelly, thank you so much for joining us right now with some thoughts on what little we know about the circumstances around Bronny's cardiac arrest. The first thought, I'm sure, came into a lot of folks' mind, Damar Hamlin. He was injured for the Buffalo Bills on the football field with a direct hit to the chest. What do you think of when you hear cardiac arrest in an athlete?
Hey, Jeff. Yeah, so thanks for having me on to talk about this. Obviously, every parent's worst nightmare to have their child have something like this. And for every athlete, it's obviously a terrifying prospect that this could happen. So there's two sort of broad possibilities here. One is that there's some undiagnosed heart problem that becomes manifest during exercise and can cause cardiac arrest, which is stopping of the heart muscle, which is death until you are resuscitated. And then there's also something that happens to an otherwise healthy person on the field, like Damar Hamlin, who had, as far as we know, no pre-existing heart problems, but just got hit in the chest hard enough and just at the wrong time. We know absolutely nothing about what happened, unfortunately, with Mr. James, but we're hopeful that he has a very fast recovery. And we hope that this also spurs a discussion about keeping athletes safe.
What does it mean in general terms, the fact that he went into ICU, came out of ICU quite quickly? What does that mean for his recovery?
Yeah, so young people who experience cardiac arrest, if they are promptly resuscitated with CPR and a defibrillator, generally do well. They will all always go to the ICU for an initial period of monitoring. But as long as CPR was started right away, they usually recover nicely. And thankfully, that's what we saw with Mr. Hamlin. So I'm hopeful that the news that he's already out of the ICU means that Mr. James will have a quick recovery and be back home very soon.
He's 18 years old, and a lot of athletes will be headed back to school and be on our fields and courts here by the thousands. Are there things that parents and those athletes should be concerned about?
Yeah, so screening of competitive athletes for underlying heart conditions is actually a somewhat controversial subject in medicine. And there's a lot of different practices from one doctor to the next and from one country to another. Some countries do very aggressive screening of all high school and older age athletes with EKGs and heart tests before they compete. Other countries don't do anything. And the U.S. is somewhere in the middle where, depending on which doctor you see, you may get a more or less thorough exam. We do recommend as cardiologists that everybody, from middle school onwards, engaging in competitive sports, undergo a history and physical with their pediatrician or doctor, which includes a lot of questions trying to elicit any underlying heart problem. Whether or not you also do heart tests like an EKG, where they measure the electrical signals from the heart, or an ultrasound where they actually look at the heart will depend a lot at what level you're competing at and what doctor you see. Pro athletes get the works, you know, middle school students get a basic exam, and everyone else is somewhere in between.
Got it. Dr. Christopher Kelly, thank you so much for those insights. I know our viewers will appreciate it as well. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
We're also following breaking news this noon at Durham's Bethesda Park. That's located east of downtown in the 3800 block of Cache Road. There is a large police presence there. That's where we find WRAL's Monica Casey with what she's learned. Monica.
Well, Renee, this park is in the middle of a neighborhood. You can see quite a few houses around this street. DPD does have the entrance to the park blocked off here, but if you come around the corner, you can see a few police cruisers down into this park. Taking a live look now at video from Sky 5 over this crime scene, we can get a better idea of what's going on here. The investigation is concentrated near the tennis courts. A white SUV is surrounded by crime scene tape. A vehicle that looks to be a work van is parked next to it outside of the tape, and there are a handful of DPD cruisers in that area as well. Right now, we are still working to get more answers from DPD about what exactly this investigation centers on and how long this park will be closed to the public. Renee?
And as soon as you get any new updates, we'll be sure to check back in with you. Monica Casey, live at Bethesda Park in Durham, where there is a large police presence. We have more breaking news. This related to the disappearance of a Moore County woman. In the last 45 minutes, we've learned Alicia Watts's boyfriend was found unresponsive in her SUV a week ago. Anson County investigators say the SUV was parked at the Anson County DMV office, and James Dunmore was found inside it on July 18th. We spoke with a friend who says Watts traveled to the Charlotte area with Dunmore, her new boyfriend. We've made several calls to law enforcement asking what Dunmore's condition is at this time. Watts has not been seen since July 16th. Anyone with information is asked to call 911.
A man wanted for setting his girlfriend's mobile home on fire with five children inside is behind bars in Cumberland County. Patrick James turned himself in to authorities yesterday after being on the run since it happened in March. WRL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays was in court this morning for his first appearance. Gilbert, what came out of that?
Well, Jeff, let me say this, that the Cumberland County Sheriff's Office put out a press release about this incident when it happened in March, but it only scratched the surface of what I heard in court this morning. This is where the mobile home was, and you can see the only things left are these steps here because this mobile home burned to the ground. Let me show you a picture of the man that we're talking about. As you mentioned, he is a 41-year-old Patrick James. He faces a slew of charges, including arson and seven counts of attempted first-degree murder. That's because authorities say on the night he set the mobile home on fire, his girlfriend, her sister, and girlfriend's five children were inside the home. Now, during testimony in court this morning, the investigator told the judge that James and his girlfriend got into a fight, and at some point, James poured rubbing alcohol on a mattress and set it on fire. Now, he fled the scene while the two other adults inside the mobile home scrambled to get the children out of the burning building. Fortunately, they all made it out alive.
And that's the biggest point is, you know, a life could have been lost, and we're very thankful that it wasn't, especially with children, because, you know, at that point in chaos, their mind is that, you know, there's not an adult there to guide them or to completely get them out of the home. It could have ended up bad for them.
Now, I sat beside James's girlfriend in court. He had hoped that she was going to speak on his behalf so that he would get a low bond and get out of the jail, but she left actually before the case was called and the judge wasn't having it. She said, based on the seriousness of the crime and the defendant's criminal history, that he would remain in jail without bond. His girlfriend told me that the mobile home is destroyed, and because of that, she has been staying with family. And I tell you, Jeff, this is just a terrible story. She's doing the best she can right now to make it with the five kids. James will be back in court on August 15th for his probable cause hearing.
Gilbert Bay is live in Cumberland County for us this noon. Gilbert, thank you.
This afternoon, President Biden is expected to announce a new action for mental health care coverage. The proposed rule would ensure benefits on private insurance plans more closely mirror physical health benefits. The action reinforces the 2008 Mental Health Parity and Addiction Equity Act.
Under the rule, insurers would need to add more mental health professionals to their network or reduce red tape to get care. Several COVID-19 pandemic-era benefits are set to expire this fall. In addition to student loan payments resuming, stabilization grants for child care are also going away at the end of September. About 3 million children might be affected as thousands of programs could close. Also, about 500,000 people could lose access to food stamps in October. That's when work requirements for the benefit resume.
Training camp is the unofficial beginning for the 2023 football season. This morning, the Carolina Panthers are all moved in. Practice officially begins tomorrow at Wofford College. WRL sports anchor Chris Lee joins us now from Spartanburg, South Carolina. Chris, there's got to be some excitement in the air. What's the mood of the team right now?
Jeff, it kind of feels like move-in day for college, right? You have your upperclassmen or the Panthers veterans who are used to the dog days of camp here at Wofford College. Then you also have your freshmen or the newcomers to the team. One of those newcomers is Panthers tight end Hayden Hurst. This is his first time at Wofford. Hurst will be in a six different offense and six seasons, but this is his first time doing a professional camp away from his team's facility. Defensive tackle Derek Brown is used to this setup going into his fourth season with the Carolina Panthers. Both players shared a sentiment that the next 2 weeks plus of camp down here in Spartanburg will help the team grow together.
Being able to be around the guys 24/7, you know, especially like this in this setting, we'll be here every day, all day. So it's one of those things where, you know, you get to not only go home in the evening time, but just kind of sit around and hang out with each other at the end of the night.
I haven't done it since college, but I understand the thought process behind it. You know, it's obviously good to get away and just immerse yourself in football. I think it's good for everybody, especially new team, new system. Get away from distractions, get here, just fully dive into football. So I think it'll be good for our team.
A few exciting arrival moments. Cornerback Herb Miller had the best paint job of anyone on the roster. Here he is in his Dodge. Boy, that is a beauty. And punter Johnny Hecker, he showed up in a Frank Reich number 14 at Carolina Panthers jersey, paying homage to his head coach, who of course was the first ever starting quarterback for the Carolina Panthers when they started out up in 1995. Now, the Panthers are one of seven teams in the NFL who are going away from their facility for a camp. But here's the thing that all players are used to. Even if they're not used to coming away for camp, they're used to practice. And that begins tomorrow at 10:15. Jeff.
We will look forward to it. And Hecker already kissing up to the head coach. Chris Lee, live in Spartanburg, South Carolina for us this noon. Chris, thank you.
Next at noon, Texas takes on the feds, the floating barrier on the border that's at the center of controversy.
Also, cornered on a bridge with a car coming right at him. What a Colorado State Trooper did to avoid getting hit.
Plus, the ACC kickoff event is underway in Charlotte at 12:30. We have a live report on the commissioner's concerns. Elizabeth.
And the sunflowers are in full bloom at Dick's Park, but it may be a bit hot to be there in the next week or so. Looking at mid-90s today with a heat index in the upper 90s, we'll be in the triple digits for the next several days. I'll show you how long our heat wave will last.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
The Justice Department says Texas violated federal law by installing a 1,000-foot floating barrier in the Rio Grande River without authorization.
Governor Greg Abbott remains defiant, accusing President Biden of trying to hamper his efforts to secure that state's border. NBC's Priscilla Thompson has details from Eagle Pass, Texas.
Yeah, no court date has been set yet, but already this is shaping up to be quite the legal battle. On one hand, you have the DOJ accusing Texas Governor Greg Abbott of being in violation of federal law by placing this 1,000-foot buoy in the water. The DOJ saying that he did not get proper authorization from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers before putting it there. On the other hand, you have a defiant Governor Abbott saying that Texas has a constitutional right to defend its border and accusing the Biden administration of trying to hamper his efforts to secure the border. And just to give you a sense of what it's like here, this buoy is about the length of 3 football fields, meaning that migrants are having to walk further and into deeper water in order to come across. And then when they do, they are reaching an embankment that the governor has covered in razor wire. There's also wire fencing, as you see behind me. And so it is quite the journey that the buoys are causing. And as for what comes next in this lawsuit, at this hour, the DOJ has not filed for an injunction, meaning for now, the buoys will stay in the water. Priscilla Thompson, NBC News, Eagle Pass, Texas.
A former White House chef and Obama administration employee was found dead at Martha's Vineyard. Authorities found the body of Tafari Campbell in about 8 feet of water. Massachusetts State Police were called after someone reported a paddleboarder falling into the water and struggling to surface. The former president and his wife called Campbell a beloved part of their family. The Obamas were not at Martha's Vineyard residence when that accident happened.
A Colorado state trooper was seriously injured when he had to jump off a bridge to avoid a crashing vehicle. The Colorado State Patrol recently released dash cam video of the crash that forced a trooper over the bridge on the interstate. Trooper Keith Bagley was there investigating another situation when the suspected drunk driver slammed into his patrol car.
This is something that is really, really challenging. For me to understand, because it is such an obvious choice to just be responsible, realize that it's somebody else's life, their well-being, that is at risk when you make this selfish decision to drive drunk.
When the trooper jumped over the bridge, he fell 30 feet and hit softer ground. He does have serious injuries and is on the road to recovery.
The BBC has apologized for an inappropriate question one of its reporters asked the captain of the Moroccan women's national team. Prior to Morocco's Women's World Cup opener against Germany, a reporter asked the captain if it was illegal to have a gay relationship in Morocco. Press conference moderator interjected. Another reporter called the question out of line. Under Moroccan law, same-sex relations are punishable with up to 3 years in prison and a fine of $91. Germany beat Morocco 6-0. The U.S. women will look to go 2-0 to start their World Cup play when they take the pitch tomorrow night against the Netherlands. You can watch the game on Fox 50. It gets started at 9 p.m.
Today, we're getting our first look at the official Olympic and Paralympic torch for the 2024 Paris Games. The upper part of the champagne-colored torch was polished until it uncovered a smooth surface, enough to reflect the light of the surroundings. The designer sculpted and dented the bottom part to reflect the imagery of waves, a depiction of the rippling water in the River Seine. Organizers plan to produce 2,000 operational torches in hopes of reducing the carbon footprint in manufacturing. And of course, WRAL will be your home for the Paris Olympics next summer.
Champagne-colored torch there. It's France. Makes sense, right?
Vive la France.
Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRL Severe Weather Center right now. Not the River Seine behind you there, but our nice body of water.
We've got some waves over here, too. It's looking lovely out there. Matter of fact, just a little bit of wind is great. Just a couple of ripples out there. This is a view from the Point Restaurant, of course, at Lake Gaston. A few big puffy cumulus clouds. If we're going to see any rain today, it's likely to be up here near the Virginia line. But that's unlikely. We have a 20% chance across the area. But looking at our potential, if we were to see it, that's about where it would be. We've already hit 90 degrees here at noon. Our dew point is at 70, so it is a full-on July feeling day out there. The temperature's on the left, so it's 89 in Southern Pines, feeling like 91. It's 88 in Clinton, but feeling like 97. It dropped off just a touch. The beginning of the newscast, it was feeling like 100 with the heat index in Clinton. Feels like 95 in Durham and in South Hill. Feels like 91 in Rocky Mount. Our heat index likely to climb into the upper 90s in the Triangle area this afternoon. Actual high temperature 94 in Raleigh, 93 Durham, 94 in Fayetteville. So it's a hot one for today. Temperatures will be 3 or 4 degrees warmer than normal. And of course, for the last several weeks, we've been hearing about all the record heat in the western part of the country. This graphic shows you where temperatures are above normal there in the yellow and below normal in blue. Our normal high temperature is 90 degrees. And so we've seen that over the weekend. Matter of fact, we dropped down into the upper 80s. But all this intense heat that's back to the west starts to slide eastward. Now, you don't see the deep, dark red colors like we see sometimes, and that's because our temperature normally is pretty hot this time of year. Again, our normal is 90 degrees. So we will see that normal our temperature climbing above that normal, and that's going to be the case for a good chunk of the country, not just the west, but a lot of the east coast as well, as we get through between now and the weekend. 70 degrees is our dew point, so that's way up there. Feels really tropical. The green shaded area is where we have humidity showing up, but it gets even worse by Thursday and Friday. Watch how the green colors get darker. That's a bump up in our humidity, and that means a bump up in the heat index too. So feeling like 98 in the middle of the afternoon. We tend to see the hottest temperatures in the mid to late afternoon, so that's when we'll feel that 98. It'll feel like 101 tomorrow afternoon, 104 Thursday, 108 Friday, and 109 on Saturday. 105 is the threshold for a heat advisory. So if those temperatures hold, if that forecast doesn't change, we're going to see a heat advisory by the weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The Bulls are back. They are back to a homestand this week after being on the road for a good bit. At game time, temperatures the next several days are likely to be in the low 90s, not likely to have showers and thunderstorms, which can make for a good time to go to the ball game. It's just going to be a little hot. Take a mister with you, the kind that sprays water. Above normal temperatures are likely all the way through early August. So what you see is what you get for a while. It's likely that Saturday will be the hottest day of the next seven. Of course, that heat index way above 100.
Elizabeth, thanks. Now here's a look at what we're following for our evening news. We have just about a month left of summer before the kids head back to school. We know you want to make the most of this precious time. Today at 5, Keely Arthur is sharing the top tested summer essentials.
Then at 5:30, Vice President Kamala Harris said Florida decided middle school students will be taught that enslaved people benefited from slavery. Paul Spey checks the claim for PolitiFact. Still ahead this noon, chances are you've heard of quiet quitting. That's when people just check out on the job. But did you know there is something known as loud quitting as well? We'll explain what it is and why you should avoid that practice.
Plus, food brands are known for coming up with wacky and sometimes gross flavors to give sales a boost. We'll tell you about the latest concoction getting a lot of buzz. You're looking at a live picture from the White House where President Biden will sign a proclamation honoring Emmett Till on what would have been his 82nd birthday. You're looking at Vice President Kamala Harris talking about that now. The proclamation will establish the Emmett Till and Mamie Till Mobley National Monument across three locations in Illinois and Mississippi. The monuments will tell the story of the events surrounding Till's murder and their significance in the civil rights movement as well as in American history. Bye-bye, little bluebird. Twitter is getting a facelift. As we told you, the social media platform is now rebranding itself to feature a black and white X as its logo. The X is already appearing on the desktop version of the site, but the mobile version still sports the bluebird logo for now.
If you're making plans to switch jobs, here's a bit of advice from human resources experts. Take the classy way out, they say. Some workers are headed to social media to announce their resignations. HR experts say it could hurt their reputation within the industry. A recent report found one in five employees publicly announced their departure from their job, which is also known as loud quitting. Many workers feel it is natural to post about major life changes like leaving a job, but experts advise and recommend employees remain professional when leaving a job. The pay gap between women and men is at an all-time low. New data from the U.S. Labor Department shows women now earn 84 cents for each dollar made by men. That's compared to 10 years ago when women only made 78% of what men made. Economic experts say a rise in women seeking education, having children at older ages, and demand of common female-led professions have all helped to reduce the gender pay gap.
and breaking right now in the WREL Live Center. UPS has reached a contract agreement with more than 300,000 unionized workers. They reached that deal today, averting a strike that had the potential to disrupt logistics nationwide for businesses and households. The Teamsters called this tentative agreement historic and overwhelmingly lucrative. So here's what it includes: higher wages and air conditioning inside delivery trucks, among other things. UPS has the largest private sector contract with workers in North America.
Big relief, no UPS strike. Automakers are toying with a plan to attract families to buy electric vehicles. Kia, Volvo, and Cadillac each have plans to roll out seven-seaters EVs. The Kia EV9 and the Volvo EX90 could be in showrooms in a matter of months. Cadillac is scheduled to reveal an electric Escalade next month. Car shoppers who have large families haven't had many options for larger electric vehicles, nor a third row of seating until now. Hyundai, Ford, and Toyota are also planning larger electric SUVs, but a timeline has not been released. The federal government may have some new plans for your next big appliance purchase. Why critics are sounding off about the new proposed rules.
And here are the winning lottery numbers from the NC Education Lottery on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
The White House is defending new efforts to crack down on a number of home appliances, including water heaters. The administration says the move will ultimately benefit consumers.
Doug Luzader explains why critics say we'll all be paying more.
You may not pay much attention to your water heater unless something goes wrong, but the federal government has been looking at them closely. Very closely.
So we want to make sure that we have the facts out there.
The White House was asked about this yesterday, and they may be treading carefully here after some blowback from earlier efforts to curb the use of gas stoves that led to bans in some areas for new construction. The new regulations could target both gas and electric water heaters, requiring more efficient designs, and the administration says that will save consumers money.
If and when it is enacted, it's going to help consumers save about $11 billion a year. That's what the president wants to do. He wants to make sure that we lower costs for the American people.
But there could be higher upfront costs, and new regulations are likely to go well beyond water heaters, including everything from gas stoves and clothes washers to ceiling fans and dehumidifiers. And there will be pushback from some on Capitol Hill.
This is not about carbon. It's not about climate change. This is about control. This is about more big government. This is about essentially nationalizing our energy sector as well as our home appliance sector and putting it in the hands of unelected bureaucrats who do not have to face the American voters in an election.
That was Doug Luzader reporting. The White House is quick to point out that these standards, if they are enacted, would not go into effect until 2029.
We're working to learn the condition of a man who was shot at a home in Durham. Police say a man was shot this morning just before 6 on Summer Storm Lane. Neighbors in the area say they heard 3 to 4 shots. No word on a motive or arrests.
Now, you might notice a large police presence in Clayton right now because the police department is conducting a training exercise at area schools. This morning's event wrapped up about 30 minutes ago at Riverwood Middle School. The next exercise begins at 1 o'clock at Clayton High School, and that will end at 4 p.m. In about a half an hour, the Goldsboro Police Department will host the inaugural Second Chance Employment and Resource Fair. It takes place at the Goldsboro Event Center on South Slocum Street, and it is open to the public. Anyone interested in learning more about job training, mental health services, and more is invited to attend.
ACC kickoff began today with the Commissioners Forum. ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips addressed the state of the conference on a variety of issues, including his thoughts on being named a defendant in the Northwestern hazing lawsuits. Pat Welter joins us live now from Charlotte. Pat, what did the commissioner have to say about the future of the conference?
Well, Renee, I think you could argue that Phillips' future right now is the bigger question. And he talked to us for about 30 minutes before addressing the elephant in the room. And he didn't say much. Phillips, of course, Northwestern's athletic director from 2008 to 2021. He's been named as a defendant in two of the Northwestern hazing lawsuits that are being called a Me Too type movement for college sports. Phillips speaking publicly for the first time since issuing a statement last week. He said his heart goes out to anyone harmed by the situation at Northwestern. He said his highest priority was always the health and safety of student athletes, and that due to it being a legal matter, he was unable to share any more at this time. Phillips was much more willing to talk about revenue and NIL issues facing the ACC and college football. He believes the ACC's new performance-based revenue model has brought the conference together. He also echoed comments that we've heard from Triangle area coaches about NIL. Inconsistent state laws are not being enforced, he says. It's time for federal regulation.
Having something, some kind of federal legislation that allows some opportunity for there be consistency across competition. And I say this, when you have inter and intrastate competition, you want fairness in everybody playing with the same types of rules. And so that's why Washington, D.C. and Congress has been really important, and we've made some strides.
Now, there was some federal legislation proposed last week, but so far nothing has been passed. Now, Phillips said the biggest issue right now is that players are being recruited by boosters through NIL, even being induced to transfer. He says if Congress doesn't do anything, the conference is working on a plan B, Renee, but right now he just couldn't share what those details are.
All right, Pat Welter reporting live from Charlotte. Thank you with what ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips had to say. We'll have you covered all week from Charlotte from the ACC kickoff. Look for more live reports from Pat, Casey Hintz, and Brian Murphy today.
Still ahead this noon, why people get even more intense migraines during the summertime and what they can do to help reduce the pain.
Plus, we'll take you overseas and under the sea to a unique hotel, how this is helping to restore marine life, and how something like this could work off our coast. You're looking live at the DBAP, a mix of sun and clouds and plenty of heat. The Bulls begin their homestand against the Charlotte Knights today. It's going to be a hot and steamy week. Find a shady spot at the ballpark. You're watching WRL News, available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device.
Severe weather conditions are enough to give anyone a headache, but temperature fluctuations are even more problematic for migraine sufferers. Sonia Goins explains how weather can trigger some migraines.
For some people, migraines are debilitating. The intense throbbing head pain is often so severe that it feels like the head will explode.
When people have migraine, they typically do have pain. It's typically moderate or severe pain, but they have other symptoms that go along with that.
Dr. Rashmi Halker Singh says that a migraine is a neurologic disease that affects people differently. Some migraine sufferers experience sensitivity to light, sound, and smells.
It can impact their quality of life. It can impact their day. They typically have attacks, which can be unpredictable.
She says extreme weather can impact various changes in the brain and cause a migraine.
Many people say that's barometric pressure changes in the weather, but some people say it's the heat that triggers them.
Dr. Halker Singh says it's crucial for migraine sufferers to stick to a routine, get plenty of rest and exercise, and it's also important to stay hydrated during the summer.
We really need to be careful about maintaining as much hydration as we can. And I think sometimes we don't even realize we're dehydrated. It just kind of happens.
Sonia Goins reporting, and the risk for heart attack could also increase during hot and polluted days. A recent study of 200,000 deaths found there was a high risk that someone could die of a heart attack during extreme temperatures. High levels of pollution and the combination of both poor air quality and heat waves could double the risk. Researchers say during those times, the heart is working hard and under stress, increasing triggers for a heart attack.
Flames are raging across the Italian island of Sicily. Coming up, how a massive fire forced officials to shut down the airport.
Finding a good hotel can sometimes be challenging. Coming up, how this sea creature's home can create healthier reef systems.
Firefighters in Italy are working hard to prevent a wildfire from spreading near an airport. Flames surrounded the airport at Palermo overnight, forcing officials to close the airport. Firefighters were there trying to keep the fire at bay. This wind-fed brush fire is just one of several blazes burning on the Mediterranean island of Sicily. Sad news in Nova Scotia, where the body of a 52-year-old man and an unidentified person have been recovered after floods. Two people remain unaccounted for. Much of the area has been dealing with severe flooding and impassable roads after torrential downpours swept in over the weekend. Water crumbled roughly 50 roads, triggered landslides, and destroyed six bridges.
If your summer plans involve going on a vacation, odds are good you'll probably stay in a hotel. But there's a group of hotels in the water off Sydney, Australia, reserved for special aquatic guests. Marianne Rafferty takes a closer look at seahorse hotels and how they could lead to healthier reef systems.
You've probably never seen hotels like this before. Made from special biodegradable metal, these structures are called seahorse hotels. Marine biologists in Australia are using them to help give the white seahorse, an endangered species, new places to live.
The reason that this seahorse species is endangered is through habitat loss, so the loss of things like seagrasses and soft corals. So the seahorse hotels, we place out into the wild, and that over time they will accumulate lots of natural growth, including sponges and algae, and become a suitable habitat for all the seahorses, replacing that habitat that's been lost or degraded in the past.
And just like hotels for people, over time these structures will also go through some renovations.
The metal will eventually corrode away, and essentially it'll leave behind a small semi-natural reef, and this will allow the seahorses to inhabit it into the future.
But while scientists overseas are restoring reef systems, corals along parts of Florida may also need emergency attention. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says above average ocean temperatures are causing some corals in the Florida Keys to bleach earlier than expected.
They're starting to pale and losing their coral their algal pigments, and eventually we expect them to bleach fully.
The bleaching process strips corals of their nutrients, making them easy targets for disease.
The seahorse has got to be the oddest animal ever invented. Mm. It's amazing. Yeah. Marianne Rafferty reporting there. The average surface temperature for water around the Florida Keys has been 91 degrees. The average for this time of year is supposed to be around 85.
My goodness, when it's so hot and humid and you want to try to cool off in the water feels like bath water there. Mm. It's going to be another hot and steamy day here in North Carolina. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center.
And it's definitely going to get worse before it gets better. We take a live look across our area. We have Goldsboro, we have Apex, and of course Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. Our temperatures continue to climb. Our heat indices are already in the mid to upper 90s and will continue to climb through the afternoon. Here's a look at our Fayetteville newsroom, and you can see lots of sunshine all across our area, and that will help to continue to warm up our temperatures this afternoon. High pressure building in with sinking air is often something that will keep a lot of thunderstorms from developing. We also have a trough of low pressure, which acts like a weak front. And you can see a few storms that are trying to pop up over the mountains. They're not having a lot of success right now. If we had any storms pop up, they would more likely be up near the Virginia line. But it looks like our chance for rain going forward between now and at least Saturday is pretty minimal. We have a strong flow coming out of the south around a high that's sitting out there in the Atlantic, and that will help to bump up our moisture and our temperatures so that by Friday, the heat index could reach 107, 108 to 109 on Saturday, and potentially 105 or hotter on Sunday. So those numbers just kind of keep on climbing. 105 is the threshold for a heat advisory that could be issued by the National Weather Service. So we'll continue to watch for that. It doesn't look like it would necessarily be a one-day event. It looks like it could be for several days into the weekend. It's just a 20% chance for rain. So keep an eye on your lawn, keep an eye on your gardens, and watch for signs of drying. With all this heat, you may need to do a little bit of watering in the next few days. Tracking the tropics, things are on the quieter side. We have a couple of systems that we're watching. This broad area of convection and another one that's moving across the Leeward Islands. This one is newly identified by the National Hurricane Center, but just a 10% chance that it's going to develop. It's something that we'll watch closely, of course, because it is sitting off the coast of the southeast. And then the other one down south, we've been watching this one for a number of days. only a 20% chance that it will develop. The models want to take that one into the southern Caribbean, so it doesn't look like it would have any effect on us. We're not seeing a lot of activity coming off the coast of Africa just yet. It's not necessarily the right time of year yet. We tend to really see that as we get into the middle of August. But another reason for that is that we have dust from the Saharan Desert coming out to across the same path that we tend to see those storms developing. And that dusty air is also very dry, and it's not conducive for storms to develop. So it looks like we may have a fairly quiet period, at least for the next few days or week or so. Our high temperatures are going to be in the mid-90s through Friday. 98 will be the hottest day of the next seven, and we do just have a small chance for thunderstorms over the weekend, just 30% on Saturday and Sunday.
Elizabeth, thanks. Zoo officials across the pond welcome a tiny new addition into the fold. What makes Pablo so special?
And here are your winning Powerball numbers on your screen right now.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. The oldest son of NBA star LeBron James is recovering from cardiac arrest. It happened yesterday afternoon during basketball practice at USC. LeBron James Jr. is now stable and no longer in the ICU. The 18-year-old, known as Bronny, will be a freshman at USC this fall. Bills safety DeMar Hamlin is offering his prayers and support to the James family. In a tweet, Hamlin said he would be there for them as they had been there for him during his ordeal.
Investigators in Anson County, not far from Charlotte, say they have found the man who was reportedly last seen with a missing Moore County woman. James Dunmore was found unresponsive a week ago today inside the vehicle belonging to Alicia Watts. Watts had not been seen since last Sunday. We are pressing officials for more information. You can look for any updates starting at 4.
Police are on the scene of a morning shooting at a Durham park. Sky 5 flew over the investigation at Bethesda Park east of downtown. Police say a man was shot around 11 a.m. and is in the hospital with serious injuries. Officers are asking anyone with information to call Crime Stoppers.
The new Xbox controller might make you hungry. Microsoft is giving away limited edition Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle themed controllers that smell like pizza. The giveaway is part of the company's collaboration with Paramount for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem movie. It will hit theaters August 2nd. Fans need to follow Xbox Game Pass on Twitter and retweet a sweepstakes post before August 13th to be eligible. Captain Crunch cereal turned 60 this year. He's getting a big honor. The captain finally is getting a true captain's jacket with a fourth stripe. 60 cosplay Crunch mates gathered in San Diego to mark the occasion. Fans can check out the captain's new look on the latest cereal boxes, treat bars, and more products.
Okay, best or worst thing ever. Skittles has partnered with French's Mustard to make its first ever mustard-flavored Skittle. Oh, yes. The candy is described as having a tangy mustard flavor combined with the candy's iconic chewy texture doused in a yellow coloring. Well, don't expect it to see on store shelves near the mustard or the candy aisle. People brave enough to try this new flavor have to travel to Atlanta, Washington, D.C., or New York.
I know you're not trying it.
Oh, no. Chester Zoo in England is celebrating its tiniest new addition. Meet Paolo, the baby southern poodoo. It's one of the world's smallest deer species native to rainforest areas in Chile and Argentina. Paolo will only grow to be around 18 inches tall. Poodoos have a thick, dark brown coat to warm their little bodies. Although they're small, they're also incredibly strong and determined. The baby deer is part of an international conservation breeding program.
If that's not cute enough for you, get ready for your heart to melt at this. Our pet of the day from the Triangle Beagle Rescue is such a cutie. Look at Hero, a little beagle mixed puppy. He and six of his siblings were dropped off at the shelter this month when their owner could no longer care for them. He was born in April, and before coming to the shelter, he lived his entire life outdoors. Hero has quickly embraced his new indoor life and appreciates fluffy beds and belly rubs. To learn more about adopting Hero or his siblings, you can visit trybeagles.org.
A military airfield could be called the first Barbenheimer Museum. Hundreds of Barbies on display among World War II exhibits. Today on our news at 4, we'll explain how the collection landed at an Army museum in South New Jersey.
NBC News Daily is next on WRAL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can also get breaking news on our WRAL News app. Have a great day.
Keep watching WRAL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.